Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Psalmist Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please dial in 319-527-6204. We are also call in your prayer requests at that same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. I pray that each and everyone had a wonderful weekend and stayed safe and everything. Amen. So now I'd say a short prayer, and then I like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of these gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is worth.
be to God.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. Majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. Yes, Lord. And release your power. We need your power. And let your presence fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name. We can't breathe without.
made. The doors are being opened right now. Hallelujah. Release your power.
Come to your rescue and give you what you need. Hallelujah. Let your presence fall. Yes, Jesus. There's worship in this room tonight. Raise your voice and cry out to the Lord. Come on, let's take it up. Y'all, take it up.
Praise be to God. In 2 Samuel 22:47 says, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock, El Salai, of my salvation." El Salai, God, my rock. El Salai, I bless your name. You reign over all. You stand strong and tower high, like a mountain of rock jutting up from earth's surface. You are not swayed or moved when storms come. Upon the strength of who you are, I find a firm foundation to build my life. You provide my salvation and the stability of my times. Amen, amen, and amen.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, which is entitled, A Good Word. Praise be to God. The scripture reading for this message is coming from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. And it says, He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. The writer says, if you need a good word today, remember that the Bible always has something worthy, edifying, and profound to say to you. I have often found that God leads me to exactly the right passage just when I need it the most. He also reminds me of the principles he's always taught me so that I'll be able to apply them in the circumstances that arise throughout the day. The wonder of God's word is that through it, the Holy Spirit reveals countless layers of insight and meaning to you and can address an infinite number of areas in your life. But the most important thing the Holy Spirit does through Scripture is grow your relationship with Christ. The more you comprehend his character and ways, the better you trust him. Likewise, you mature in your understanding of who he created you to be. God's word is always a sure and absolute foundation for you. It doesn't change even when the storms blow and the world around you is shifting, confusing, and unstable. Matthew 7:24-25. Therefore, go to Scripture for the good word you need. Receive the insight and strength you seek and build your life on the foundation that never fails. Amen. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for your wonderful word. Speak to me through it, Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. I pray that it was a blessing to you as it is to me. And at this time, I will play another selection, and you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be conducting our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in with your prayer request, 319-527-6204. And right now, we are going to go on to the next level. Praise be to God.
Unto the next level. Our God is always in control. No matter what you're going through, he's taking you.
God my rock, again and again I enter into my day with the greatest of intentions, ready to trust in you as your names remind me of your great power. Yet when the winds blow and the waves crash against the shore, I forget to look at you, my God, my rock. I forget that you are strong and that you have not been moved by what moves me. Forgive me each and every time I have not sought refuge in you, God, my rock. Amen, amen, and amen.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible.
Amen. I believe in you. Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread. Amen. Which is entitled Beyond Words. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, where it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, praise God. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago, whether I was in my body or out of my body. I don't know. God only knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insult, hardship, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. To God be the glory for the reading of his mighty word. The text for this message is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 through 4, and it says, this man heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. Amen. The writer says, again, the name of this message is Beyond Words. And the writer says, Thomas Aquinas was one of the church's most celebrated defenders of the faith. Yet just 3 months before his death, something caused him to leave unfinished his Summa Theologica, the massive legacy of his life's work. While reflecting on the broken body and shed blood of his Savior, Aquinas claimed to see a vision that left him without words. He said, I can write no more. I have seen things that make my writing seem like straw. Before Aquinas, Paul too had a vision. In 2 Corinthians, he described the experience. Whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things in 2 Corinthians 12:3-4. Paul and Aquinas left us to reflect on an ocean of goodness that neither words nor reason can express. The implications of what Aquinas saw left him without hope of finishing his work in a way that would do justice to a God who sent his son to be crucified for us. By contrast, Paul continued to write, but he did so in the awareness of what he could not express or finish in his own strength. In all the troubles Paul encountered in service to Christ in 2 Corinthians 11:16-33, 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, he could look back and see in his weakness a grace and goodness beyond words and wonders. Amen. Question: what problem have you had that seemed like a curse? How have you seen God show himself good to you in ways you cannot describe? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, please give me the courage today to look for inexpressible sense of your presence and strength in my weakness. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise be to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Joy, unspeakable joy. Ooh, God, my rock, you deserve my gratitude. You stay steady when all else around me crumbles and falls. Thank you for your power and strength. Thank you for being my rock, the God of my salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for my sins. Thank you for not only saving me for eternity, but also for offering me salvation while on this earth. Accept my humble words and heart of prayer as I bow before you to thank you for all you have done for me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, but I'd like to welcome our guests online. God bless you, Jake. How are you this evening?
Oh, I need to lift up my aunt. She just had a stroke today. She's in the hospital.
Oh,
never.
So, yeah.
Right.
So just gotta keep reminding myself that God is in control.
312-579.
It's not it. Yeah. It's the number.
Yes, to remember. Now I know the other four.
Amen. Praise God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are the El Shaddai, the Almighty God. You are the great and mighty in power. Your understanding and wisdom knows no limits. Your might knows no bounds. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so your ways are higher than our own. You surround us with the blessings of your provisions as you covered with us through your Son, Jesus Christ. The balancing of the clouds and the wondrous works of the earth are nothing compared to you, who sit enthroned in might and valor. Father God, we come this evening to lift up Jake's aunt. Lord, only you can heal her. The doctors and them can do all that they can, but all healing comes from you. And we're asking you this evening, Lord God, to touch her, to heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Wrap your loving arms around her, Lord God. Touch her family. Let them know that everything is going to be all right, that she's going to come through this. This is just a setback. But we know that you are the Almighty God, the healer. And we know that you will bring her through whatever is going on in her body, Lord God. We thank you for healing her right now, Lord God. We thank you for life and strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. Right now we are placing her in your hands, Lord God. Let your will be done. Not our will, but your will be done in her life, Lord God. Touch her in a mighty special way. Again, Lord God, heal her body. Because you said, by your stripes, we are healed. So, Lord God, we're asking you again, touch her, heal her. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that prayer.
You are very welcome. And I'm so sorry to hear about your aunt. But we know that with God, all things are possible. And she's going to be fine.
Indeed.
She's going to come through it with his help.
Yes.
And our prayers.
Yes.
We just have to pray one for another and keep each other up in prayer. And
that's
I also,
so
yes, pray for my daughter-in-law's grandson, because he's going tomorrow for surgery also. And so we also lift him up in prayer as we lift up your aunt. So right now I'm just believing and have faith that God is going to do what he say he will do. So we thank
Amen.
Thank God for doing what he do best. He heals our bodies, our minds, and our souls. Amen?
Amen.
So now our very own Barbara is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you.
Evening.
How are you this evening?
I'm blessed and highly favored. And you?
Well, I'm blessed. And I could be better. I'm a little disappointed. But it was just something that happened. And nothing that we can do about it. But anyway, my sister was tested positive for the COVID, and we were all together on Monday when her test came this morning and said that she was positive for the COVID. So my doctor said that I have to quarantine for 5 days.
Oh,
even
did you
though,
take the
test?
Even though I don't have, you know, the symptoms, and the first that test comes, you know, it comes out negative, but you still got to go take the other test because that one, the first one she took was negative. Then she went to the clinic and they took it and it was positive. They called her
the same day?
Huh?
Was it the same day?
Yeah. She went on Monday. She took the test Monday. And they, you know, they don't call you till the next day because you don't get the results the same day, the clinic that she went to in Manhattan. So she called me at 6:30 this morning to tell me that they called her and told her that she tested positive.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
So am I.
Yeah, but no symptoms, right?
Yeah, she had the runny nose, the itchy throat, and
oh, so she does have
she
symptoms.
Didn't have
okay.
No fever, though. There was
oh,
no
okay.
Fever.
Wow.
Yeah, no fever.
Yeah.
So the doctor sent a prescription to the pharmacy for her, and she has to pick it up. So now, because we were all together, so I'm on
right.
Quarantine. My other sister is on quarantine. Her friend is on quarantine. Everybody is on quarantine.
I'm sorry to hear that, but my concern is, will you get a refund from the retreat?
I don't know because I didn't read it. You know, I didn't read the whole thing. I just was like, send the thing. But I called and let her know that what happened, and she hasn't called back yet. So, you know.
Okay, Miss Daisy.
No, not Miss Daisy. Miss Catherine Coleman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that you can get a refund, at least something, you know, because that was like a wow. And who would have thought?
When I talked to her yesterday, I was so excited. She was excited. She's like, oh, I can't wait now. We get there, and, you know, and everything. And, oh, my gosh. Now this. You can feel when something is not right. And so my other sister, she's upset. I was like, why are you getting upset? There's nothing that we could do about it. Oh, I mean, she came in contact with somebody who had the COVID. And then, unfortunately, she was tested positive, and it was because the home attendant that takes care of her ex-husband, one of them gave it to him. She's there all the time, in and out, and with him and helping and whatnot, and talking to the attendants and whatnot, the aides. And anyway, so they had called her and told her that he couldn't walk. So he couldn't get up. He was, you know, and he was had the coughing, the throat, and all of that. So, yeah. And even though he had both shots and both boosters.
You breaking up. I'm hearing some of it. Let me just say, is my audio coming through clearly? I had just turned off the Bluetooth because
yes,
I know that sometimes I happens. I'm coming through clearly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
definitely. Mm. So anyway, long story short, we are right where we are.
Sorry to hear that. Oh, what a time.
I know. I was looking forward to it. She was looking forward to it just to get out of New York for a few hours.
Well, that's right. You going to Marie, huh?
Yeah, Marie. Mm-hmm.
Marie. So, I was just trying to pack my suitcase, ironing up some things.
Girl, I started packing my suitcase last night. Yes, but when she called us and gave me the bad news this morning, my heart just went bloop, bloop.
I know. Before we get started, I have to interrupt
everybody with a praise report. My sister just gave me a text. My aunt is home from the hospital.
Yes!
Who is that?
My aunt had a stroke today.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Well,
glad
you didn't know
because
I didn't tell you. I just found out about it. And so she's home. So, whew, okay.
Thank God.
Wow.
Sorry. Who said that? Got
amen. The power of prayer.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
Wonderful report, Jake. Wonderful.
Yeah.
It is working. Thank God.
Yes.
Well, anyway, let's get started with the program.
Okay.
Not to cut anybody short, but
no.
God is good.
All
no matter
the time.
What it looks like, God is good.
Yes.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants assemble to give you grace, glory, praise, and honor. Lord, we come to you right now thanking you for waking us up another day, for starting us on our way, for giving us strength for the struggle. Lord God, for opening our eyes. We thank you for that. We thank you for the change in the weather. We thank you for the sunshine and the rain. And we thank you for giving us news that is right on time. Amen.
Yes,
it's right on time.
with the information about Evangelist Hilda's sister, about Brother Jacob's aunt coming out of the hospital. It's right on time.
Yes,
God, we're so thankful for that.
Thank you.
We thank you for everything that you're doing, everything that you've done, everything that you're going to do.
Yes,
if I had 10,000 sons, I couldn't thank you enough, because you keep on making a way. You keep on doing great things.
Yes.
And so I am forever grateful. And, Lord, we just bless you. We bless everyone that's on the line, those that are live with us now, those that are listening in the archives, those that are on the computer. We thank you for them, Lord God. We thank you that they wanted to make their way to hearing this broadcast this evening. So, God, bless us and we will be blessed. Keep us and we will be kept. And I ask all these many blessings in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 God, amen.
Amen.
We're going to pick up where we left off. We had homework. I'm not going to do that first, but we did have homework, remember?
Yes. What is faith?
Yes. Faith.
Such somber. We got to go.
I love you all.
We love,
you. We're going to go with continuing chapter 36, the inheritance of sin. And just briefly, what does that mean to both any one of you, one at a time? What does that mean, the inheritance of sin?
Escape.
Okay, good.
There's only Jesus is the escape. So since we're all descendants of Adam and Eve, we've inherited their sin. It's in our genetics. Yep.
And their sin, but their sin becomes our sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They caused it. So it started out with them, but now we are sinners.
Absolutely.
That's right.
We have our own sin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we inherited their sin, but we sin now. Evangelist, what do you think?
I agree. We are inheriting sins because of our sinful nature. So, hey, we want what we want, right?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to deny ourselves and put off that instant gratification. It's not about that. It's not about getting what I want, when I want it, where I want it, how I want it, as many times as I want it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that. That's flesh, and that's selfish. So we're going to move right along with we stopped at the last paragraph of part two, and I'll just go into that. And I think we did all the scriptures, right? We read Romans 6:20 and 7:20, right? So we're going to go into part three.
Mm-hmm.
Total depravity. Or depravity, but I'm going to say depravity. Total depravity. Any thoughts about that? Depravity. Total depravity.
No.
Total depravity.
What is that?
That's,
Excuse me?
Depravity. I haven't used that word in a long time.
Well, it means perverted. Or crooked, as it says in our literature right here. All right?
Mm.
Perverted, depraved, out of your mind. Just so much. Depraved. All right?
Yeah.
Moral corruption or degradation, yes.
Degradation, just doing anything and everything. And really, without caring, that is going to impact someone else. You don't care. They don't care. You know what it looks like. You snatched candy from the baby. You don't care. Baby's crying their head off. So what?
that's pretty depraved.
Excuse me?
I said said, that's pretty depraved. Ooh, I got to run to the kitchen. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
Oh. All right. So maybe I should wait for him? He said he'd be right back.
Yeah.
Or do you want me to continue?
No, we'll wait for him because we don't have. You don't want to have to go back over it.
Right, right.
Yes. So.
So how's your sister since we have a moment?
She's like depressed because she has the COVID, and you know she was infected the rest of us.
Okay.
But I told her that you know it was something that you couldn't avoid because you had to get him to the hospital regardless of, you know, she sprayed the car down and everything, but, you know, it was like, and the thing is that she had on her mask, but then, you know, sometimes you forget and you pull the mask down or whatever, but when
right.
we were all three of us was in the car, even though we had all of the windows down, but we didn't have on our mask. We had the mask on around the, you know how you put it down over off your mouth.
Under your chin.
You can talk and breathe. And so, but by then she had already done caught it from him. Even though they tell you, even though you had the shots, you had the boosters, but you still can get the virus. But it's
right. But the good thing about that is that it's not as severe as it would have been
right.
had she not.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a relief. It's not a
yes.
good news to hear, but the fact that she's protected, she's covered,
yes.
is that it should not, the duration should not be that long.
No, 5
right.
days, the doctor told her.
Well,
right.
I mean the duration of the virus itself in her body, and like you said, yeah, 5 days.
Yes. Well, what she's been taking, you know, some Tylenols and things, but then the doctor sent her a prescription, you know, whatever that
mm-hmm.
Pill that they give you that you take for the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got to be careful about that, because there's like a rebound effect with that pill.
Yeah, I heard that. But
yeah, so,
what happened? You broke up. What happened?
No, a friend of mine was on, what is it, a Remsevere? What is it called? I don't remember the name of that pill.
Yes, that's one of them.
Yeah, something like that.
And so
he got COVID. He was put on the pill. The COVID went away. He went off the pill, and it came right back.
Wow. Mm.
Like I'd never left
well,
his
body.
Well,
same thing with President
so,
Biden. I don't know what he was on, but he got it,
yeah.
got over it, and caught it again. So,
yeah.
Right, right. I mean, the medication is good if it keeps you out of the hospital, of course,
yes.
or from dying. But you just sort of have to be aware that, you know, you got to be careful when you stop taking it.
Mm-hmm. And we have to be mindful of the fact that the pandemic is still here.
Yes.
Some people
right.
think it's gone.
No matter how
you know,
the relaxing. World wants to pretend that it's not.
They're relaxing their guard, you know, they're not doing
yeah.
the hand washing and the mask wearing and the social distancing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's still here. It's
less.
They
don't
want
it never left.
But it's still here.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on with the lesson.
Okay.
We waited for you, Dr. Jacob, so.
Oh, sorry, I was just acting depraved. I had to come back.
Gotcha. Okay, the scriptural
right.
evidence provides the basis for what has been commonly called total depravity. The English word depravity means perverted or crooked. It is not used in the translation of the King James Version, but some modern translations do use it to translate adokimos, A-D-O-K-I-M-O-S, a Greek word, I believe, in
mm-hmm.
Romans 1 and 28. The word means not standing the test
mm.
and gives us a clue
as to how to define the concept of depravity. Depravity means that man fails the test of pleasing God. He denotes his unmeritoriousness in God's sight. What does that mean?
Unmeritorious.
No merit. Not deserving or worthy.
Right. Exactly. His unworthiness before God, in the sight of God. So this failure is total in that A, it affects all aspects of man's being, and B, it affects all people. Negatively, the concept of total depravity does not mean, A, that every person has exhibited his depravity as thoroughly as he or she could. So what does that mean? Negatively, the thought of depravity does not mean that every person has shown his depravity, his perversiveness, his crookedness as thorough as he or she could. What does that mean?
That means we have great potential for depravity.
We do.
It means, yes, you could be worse.
Right.
You could be worse. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Okay, B, good. Yes, yes. But sinners, part B. Where is that? Okay. But sinners do not have a conscience, sinners, or a native induction concerning God. Any thoughts about that?
So that means they don't care. So they have no conscience of what they do as far as that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't use the word to define the term, so.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Thank you.
See, that sinners will indulge in every form of sin. Is that true?
No. Some of us won't go nowhere
what?
Near.
What?
No. That sinners
all
will...
All forms of sin? This is a trick question.
One at a time, Jacob.
All right.
Evangelist,
sorry.
Expound.
That sinners will indulge. You got some sinners that is not, that won't indulge in every sin. Because, I mean,
well,
like,
we're talking about the depraved. The depraved.
Oh, the depraved one. Oh, heck yes.
Yeah, this is the depraved we're talking about.
Oh, okay. Yes, they will. Yeah, they
yes.
Okay.
They will.
Brother,
yeah.
What'd you say?
They have sin competitions. What?
I didn't understand that.
What? Sin competitions? Like, the depraved are so proud of their sinful nature, they boast about it.
You think
yes.
They're proud?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Why do you explain that?
Just,
what do you mean?
Well, for example, just look at how business is done these days. How proud the overly paid executive is for their depraved behavior towards their lower employees. You also have entire realms of business based on depravity, like pornography. I think there are even groups of people in the world who boast about their depravity. You can just look at politicians. So that's what I mean, is if you're going to be depraved, you're going to you're going to want to do everything that you can under the sun. So that's what
okay.
I have to see about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you both. And part D, we'll go back and see that sinners will indulge in every form of sin. Doesn't mean they're going to do all of them, but they will, you know, do anything they want to do. All right? That's
yeah.
a transgression against God. And D, that depraved people, keep in mind we're talking about the depravity, that depraved
right.
people do not perform actions that are good in the sight of others and even in the sight of God.
Mm.
All right? So Jeffrey Dahmer comes to mind. Those serial killers, those people that do those, you know, heinous, almost unimaginable acts, you know?
Yes.
Dharma, you know what he did, right? Or what it said that he
mm-hmm.
did.
Yeah.
What did he do?
He killed a bunch of people, lured them into his home, and had sex with them and murdered them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what else?
Well, I don't know the full story.
Okay,
but he
the
did
rest
get into trouble,
story,
and he actually bragged to his jailers about his
he did what
depraved. He bragged to his jailers about the depraved exploits that he did. He was proud.
Okay, right. So, what he did that was really the. I don't want to say the icing on the cake, but that was just even more disgusting, is that when he killed them, he cooked them and ate them.
Mm.
Did you know that?
I do not.
So that's the praise.
Right.
That, I mean, people kill every day, and that's not saying, oh, that's a minor thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he did what he did to the point of, it's unimaginable. Anyway, negatively, the concept of total depravity does not mean that every person has exhibited his depravity as thoroughly as he or she could. That sinners, I read that, I'm sorry. Next part, that was negatively, and here it is, positively. Total depravity means A, that corruption extends to every facet of man's nature and faculties, and B, that there is nothing in anyone that can command him to a righteous God. Any thoughts about that? This is positive.
That there is nothing
positively
in anyone that can commend him to a righteous God. So you mean he that so depravity that
depraved
that no one could actually talk him into going into commending
right.
anyone?
That no wow. one can commend him
mm-hmm.
to a righteous God. What does commend mean?
Commend or command?
Commend.
C-O-M-M-E-N-D. Commend.
Ah, okay. So commend is to give way.
Okay. So no one can direct him to a righteous God. There's nothing that you can say to him
oh.
or her
mm.
that's going to lead them to want to turn to God. They're depraved.
Wow. That is horrible.
You know, so some people you talk to and you keep on talking to them and they still don't change their wicked ways.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
They're depraved. They're crooked. They're perverse. They don't want to hear it. They just don't. They don't want to change. They don't want to change to a righteous God.
That's
God
true.
Is right. They're wrong. And
yes.
they don't want to change their wrongful ways.
total depravity. Anyone comments on that? I'm sorry.
No.
Did I
well,
stop someone?
No. As pastors say, they can go straight to hell.
Yeah, he likes to say that.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
He likes to say that.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm going to turn the oven off. I'm so sorry. It's like I'm multitasking.
It's okay.
But this is it. I'm coming right back.
You look busy. I mean, yeah. It's okay. I'll read that section again while he's absent. Positively, total depravity. This is total depravity.
Mm-hmm.
Is corruption. You back? Corruption
no.
extends to every facet of man's nature and faculties, everything they
okay.
think about, their nature, you're back, okay. I'm just rereading that last paragraph. And B, that there is nothing in anyone that can commend him to a righteous God. Nobody can say, that's like being recommended. Nobody can say anything good about him, right?
Wow. Yes.
Nothing that no one can commend to him, commend him to a righteous God. He's lost.
Exactly.
Total depravity, next paragraph, must always be measured against God's holiness. Relative goodness exists in people. Relative goodness exists in people. They can do good works, which are appreciated by others, but nothing that anyone can do will gain salvational merit or favor in the sight of a holy God. So some of these people that are depraved do good works. They are appreciated by others. But nothing that anyone can do will gain salvational merit. They can't be saved or favor in the sight of a holy God unless they change their ways.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless they repent, confess, repent, and turn their life around. Any thoughts about that before we go into part four?
No, some of them do and some don't. They continue doing what they do. They thinking that, you know, oh, if I do this and I do that and, you know, I'm going to look good in God's eyes. No.
Mm.
Doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm. They will not gain salvational merit or favor in the sight of God. And my thought is that I thought everybody was able to, salvation is free. I
yes.
thought everybody was able to obtain salvation. So what is the key to gaining salvation?
Faith in it's your faith. That gets you that is good in the sight of God. Your faith, as long as you believe and have faith that God can do what He say He will do.
That's a portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna get into faith in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So. You have any comments on that, brother?
Yeah.
It's okay.
No, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Only the only way to the Father is through knowing in our hearts that Jesus the Christ is our Lord and Savior, and believing and having faith in that in our hearts. That will save our souls.
Okay. Again, that's a part of it.
Mm.
Believing in Jesus Christ. We have to be obedient. He gave us commandments. So if we believe in him and we don't follow those commands.
True. Yes, that's the key word.
And the biggest one is to love yourself. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And therefore to do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Yep.
So if you're not obedient to him, You can do good works all day long. That's not going to give you eternal life.
Exactly.
And it's not about the works anyway. Even though the Bible says faith without works is dead and works without faith is dead. Some people think they can earn their way into heaven. But like I said, and we all know, salvation is free.
Yeah.
But you have to obey.
Right.
He already paid the price. There's nothing we can do to earn it. It's unmerited favor that we're given salvation.
Exactly.
But we have to be obedient. All right, part four. The penalty connected with inherited sin. The penalty that is particularly related to inherited sin is spiritual death. Death always indicates a separation of some kind. So spiritual death means a separation from the life of God in this present life. And that's in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. If this condition continues unchanged throughout life, then eternal death or the second death, and that's in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Evangelists get Ephesians. Brother Jacob get Revelation. And we're going to continue with this paragraph, and we'll look at these scriptures, okay? Cut flowers will illustrate living human beings who do good things, but who nevertheless are spiritually dead. Is the blossom that has seen cut from the plant alive or dead? I think that's a misprint there. Is the blossom that has been cut, I'm sorry, it's my eyes, that has been cut from the plant alive or dead? That's the question. What happened? Is it? Yes? No?
It's dead. It can't live.
What's that?
Although, sorry to get all botanical, but I mean, you could take a clipping and put it in some water and keep it alive. So,
Didn't say a clipping.
Maybe it's just...
Didn't say a clipping. We're talking about a flower, like a rose. Not a clipping.
Yeah, so
you're going to take root.
Oh. Okay, yeah, so if it can't take root, it's dead.
I cannot understand you. Come to the phone or something. I don't know.
How about
now? Is it alive or dead?
It's dead.
It's dead?
Yeah, if it can't grow root, it's dead.
Okay, you say it's dead. Evangelist, what do you say?
If the blossom has been cut from the plant.
I can't understand you either.
Well, then there's something wrong with your phone. It's dead because it's been cut from the root of the plant. So if you cut the flower, it's going to die.
The flower is still alive.
Is alive, but eventually a day or so, it going to die.
That's not the question, though. You're adding to the question. The question is, if the blossom that has been cut from the plant, alive or dead, and one says it's dead, Brother Jacob, Evangelist says it's alive. So, okay. The author says, at first, it is beautiful and fragrant, and we know how fresh-cut flowers are. They're beautiful. They're alive, and, you know, some of them may even still bloom. Like when you get a rose that's closed, it's going to bud, okay? But it has been severed from the life of the plant that produced it. Oh, wait a minute. I think I skipped something. Okay. Sorry. At first, it is beautiful and fragrant. And in combination with other cut flowers, it may grace the finest home, church, or occasion. It looks alive. It is youthful. But it is, in reality, dead.
Okay. Yay, I got it right.
As Brother Jacob says,
for it has been severed from the life of the plant that produced it. At this point, the illustration breaks down, for it is not possible to give the flower new life, new and eternal life, something God can do for the one who believes in the Lord Jesus. So can you expound on that when we're talking about us as the flower and new life and eternal life can come through Jesus? So
yes.
Any thoughts about that connection?
Yeah, because if we are dead in sin and we get reborn through Christ, then we become alive again.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Don't thank me. You said the right thing. Ephesians 2:1-3,
Evangelist, when you get us ready. Ephesians 2:1-3 says, I'm reading from the New Living, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the power in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Amen.
Okay, wow. You were going in and out, so I'm going to read the message. Ephesians 2:1-3. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in the old stagnant sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us, doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive, like the flower, made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. What did I say? We don't need to work for it. It's grace. It's unmerited favor. You can't do anything to get it. It's given to
us. Amen.
Because we are believers and we are obedient.
Yes.
Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Revelation 20:11-15, Brother Jacob.
20:11-15, New Living Translation. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found in recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.
Mm.
Ouch.
That is powerful.
Would you say ouch?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. We've got to conclude our lesson for tonight, and we're stopping at
where was it? Section 5, you're right, Section 5, which is the transmission of inherited sin. Transmission of inherited sin. That's in the way? Okay. So you guys can now share your homework assignment with me. If you would. Who wants to be first?
Nobody wants to be first. Okay.
Speak for yourself. I don't want to be first.
Okay.
No, I'll be first. So the assignment was we had to define faith. Like, what is faith? Was that the...
What is faith?
I don't understand you. What is... It's not...
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good.
Yeah, well, that's really weird, because when you were complaining you couldn't hear Hilda, I could hear her fine.
Yeah,
so
I couldn't.
Might be
it's
a problem
phone,
with your phone.
I know. My
yeah.
phone.
Yeah. Maybe it needs to be exorcised.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone is demon-possessed. There must be an app for that.
No, it's not. The devil is a liar. It's got a little wrinkle in it right now, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
Stop dilly-dallying, and let's get on with the assignment at hand. And you're going to read the question, and you're going to answer it for me if you would nicely do that, okay? What's the homework question?
Study insight into what is faith.
Well,
so.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything. Go right ahead.
Right. Okay. So, faith is... Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
Sorry, my faith button is... Yeah, so... it's like no matter what we're going through in life, that faith is a decision that we make about how to process what happens around us. So, for example, if you have faith in the legal system, you
I'm
have
gonna
faith
stop you
that
right
there's
here.
A judge
that's
going to follow the rules.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
We don't use the word to define the word. So if you're saying we have faith in the legal, what do you mean? We have faith in the legal system. What is faith?
Well, faith is a belief in a reality that this is okay. Let me first tell you why I had so much trouble just defining faith, because
you're not the only one.
There are so many miracles that take place in life, and a miracle, the cause of that miracle can either be attributed to a higher power, if one has faith in it, or just happenstance, if one has faith in happenstance. So if I have a faith in happenstance that I don't believe that God exists, I will not have any faith in God, but I will have faith in in coincidence, in risk, in just total chance. So I'll still
but
have faith.
Listen, hold it. You're not telling me what faith is. What is faith? You keep using it, but what is it?
Well, go on.
I said I wasn't going to stop you. Go on.
Okay. Oh, goodness. Well, all right. So it's a form of trust or confidence in like a thing or a person or a view of life in a personal level that cannot be refuted. So in other words, nobody can take that confidence or trust away from me because I have faith in that, not in the person, but in that confidence and in that trust of who, what, or even the concept of life experience. Was that a little better?
So you're saying that faith is the concept of your belief in a life experience?
No, I'm saying it's a it's a confidence or trust.
Confidence
it's a form
in a
of
life
confidence
experience.
Or trust in a person, an experience, a concept. So let's take somebody who believes the Earth is flat. Now you can come to a flat earther and you know talk to them till the cows come home about how wrong they are.
I'm hearing some of you, but
okay. Well, I tell you what. Can you get a new phone and then I'll answer the question. Hilda, could you hear me at all?
I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, so time marches on, and I don't want to take time you can't hear what I'm saying, so.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
How about if we send you a text?
No.
Oh, that's right, because we're
gonna be
sharing
a long text.
Class.
I don't text. It's gonna be. You notice I don't text.
Yeah.
Evangelist, what's your answer to the homework?
Well, my answer is faith is trusting that God exists, and by following Him. We, even if we don't see him, but we know that he's there. So we put all our faith in him. You know, understand? We don't have to see him, but we could see all of his handiwork. So we know that
he exists. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You mean I got
Amen.
It right?
All right, I'm gonna. You done?
I said no. I mean I got it right for a change.
No, it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's like you know, I'm not here. Listen, I'm a student also, so it's not a matter of right or wrong. I'm just saying. All right.
Amen.
My answer is that, okay, first of all, the question is, what is faith?
Right.
immediately Hebrews 11 and 1 comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And in the Message, verses 1 through 3 says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God has faith in God. This faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we don't or what we can't see. Our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. And verse 7 says, by faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. That's that faith. Mm-hmm. God told him something. Yeah. They were in a dry land, and he started building this ark on dry land. And people laughed at him. Noah, mm-hmm. you fool, what are you doing? And he's like, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And he said this. For how long?
40 days. Here we go. 40 nights.
And 40 nights.
No, that's how long the rain came. He said this for 120 years. He was building this ark.
Whoa.
And the people laughed at him and called him silly.
Mm-hmm.
My word. Okay, so his family was saved. His act of faith, and I tell you not to use it, but this is what my research showed. This his act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. So my last question, I believe it was is faith experience? And neither one of you answered that. So is faith experience?
That's a good question.
I mean, if we look at Noah.
Noah knew that God was speaking to him.
Yeah.
And Noah
God gave him the
God
dimension
said the,
of
that's right. That's
of
right.
the wood,
so his,
of the
yeah.
What do you call that stuff that goes between the wood to hold it together? Or the pitch.
The
he gave him the dimensions of everything to create this ark. God told him that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right? And so...
Right. Now, if God told him, you fool, I fooled you...
No.
Those were the people. So it's just the people around him... Right. The people around him said, what are you doing? You know, you're a fool. So he experienced God's instruction. So that counts as an experience.
I'll be with you in a minute.
And what about the wind? You know, you can't see the air move, but you can see the grass and the trees move because of the wind.
And you can see it.
So that's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
But are you saying that's God?
Well, if God says I'm going to send a storm, and you know I have the faith to heed the warning and get out of the way, and then the storm hits, it's an experience.
So you're saying that God is in the storm, he's in the wind, he's in the waves.
He's everywhere in creation.
So when Jesus said to the storm, peace be still, he was telling his father to stop it?
No, you're just telling the you know, I don't know. I mean, all I know is that the weather obeys him just as it obeys his father. So I don't know if he said, hey, you know, well, actually, the scripture, he doesn't say, hey, Dad, make it stop. He just says, peace be still, and it stops.
Right. He spoke to the wind the water.
Yeah. So that's an experience.
Right.
Maybe it's just the trick question was too tricky.
No, it wasn't a trick question. And that wasn't talking about Jesus having faith. We have faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
So Jesus is God. He's a part of the triune entity.
Right.
Yeah.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, someone wants to say. But that wasn't him having faith in what? Himself? That was him being
a
divine.
Well, I'm sure he did have faith in himself. I mean, he knew what his purpose was, and you know, he was... Right? I mean, if he didn't have faith in himself, we'd all be in trouble.
He was divine, or he still is divine. So that was his divinity speaking to nature.
Wow.
And so the waves and the wind obeyed Jesus.
Right.
And it calmed down, and the storm was over. Right?
Yeah.
So, but we're not talking about Jesus having faith. We're talking about us having faith. What is faith for us? And like I said, I think I opened it up with his faith experience. So faith, can I get consensus on what faith is? Is faith experience?
I don't know. Is it?
I still think it's a trick question. I'm sorry, because if we didn't experience anything at all, I'd say, no, of course it's not experience, but, you know, the mere existence in this realm is experience. And when God comes and thumps my tub saying, hey, who do you think you are? And what do you think you're doing? I develop a relationship with God, and God sends me to Jesus. I develop a relationship with Jesus. These are experiences. I can't say that they didn't happen. They happened. If they didn't happen, I'd still be lost. So that's why I think it's a trick question.
No, it's not a trick question. It's not a trick question. It's what your belief is. It's what your belief is. So you believe that faith is experience.
Yeah.
Faith is the assurance that the things revealed and promised in the word are true. So that's why Noah believed in the word. He believed in God. So he believed what God told him.
And he had not seen a flood before.
Exactly.
There wasn't that much.
But
there was no experience with a flood. That had never happened
before. But all right. See, the tricky part, just looking at Hilda's response, scripture was fulfilled. Well, in Noah's time, there was no scripture to be fulfilled. It was being fulfilled right then and there. God was speaking to him point blank. That's an experience.
That's an experience?
If he didn't experience God talking to him, he wouldn't have lifted a finger.
But I'm not talking about experiencing a conversation with God. Experience is going through something that you've been through already. That's what experience is. It's not, you know, taking part in something and you're saying, I heard this, and so I'm going to be experience. To me, when you apply for a job, they ask you, have you ever fried fries before?
all right, if you're going to Mickey D's. That's experience. Are you familiar with doing that? But again, this faith that I'm talking about is something that you haven't seen, and that's why I referred back to Hebrews 11 and 1, where it is said that now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping it's going to happen. You haven't seen it. The evidence,
right.
There is no evidence. There is no experience. The evidence of things not seen. So if it's not seen, then it's not experienced. You've never seen it before. And why would you hope for something that you've seen? All right, it's after 8 o'clock. I'm going to leave it right there.
Can
but,
I tell
good idea.
The scripture definition says, faith is the assurance that the things revealed and promised in the word are true, even though unseen, and gives the believer a conviction that what he expects in faith will come to pass.
Good.
Amen.
So it's the assurance
yes.
that what he's looking for, what she's hoping for,
right.
is going to come to pass. They haven't seen it before.
Right.
They haven't experienced it before. I'm not talking about a conversation with God. Yes, hopefully for all Christians, they have experienced God. But I'm talking about this faith, something that we haven't seen, this belief that we're going to get something. And I just want to say something else before I go. I know it's overtime. But I was watching Creflo Dollar the last couple of Sundays, I think I saw him. And he was talking about this supernatural thing where some people believe that when you say God is going to do something for you, that means you have to do something. In particular, I'm talking about you want to buy a car, or you
yes.
want a car. Let me say that. You want a car. And
uh-huh.
people say, oh, yeah, you save up your money and you know, you put the down payment and blah, blah, blah. And you, that's not God. That's not
right.
God. I'm talking
no.
about when you get that car and all you had was faith, had no money. And if you
Come
did
on.
Have money, it came to you.
Yes.
And sometimes when you get that car, it's paid in full. You don't have no monthly bills. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It's deeper than I'm saving my money up and I'm going to get a car. That's you. That's not,
right.
not saying God's not in it, but that's
yes.
the individual.
Yes.
I'm talking about being blessed by something that you had nothing to do with, didn't see no way of it happening. And that's that supernaturalness.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Amen?
So you've never experienced that's supernatural.
It.
All right. Let's,
supernatural.
You were right. When you said let's table it for tonight because I could
you're,
argue
you're
about this for
up,
hours.
But I think you're saying good night. Right? So I'm going to ask Brother Jake, if you would, you want to take us out?
Sure. Father God, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for being in the midst of us. We thank you for bringing forth questions that bear fruit of knowledge, Lord. We thank you just for the opportunity today, tonight, Lord. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to lift you up. And we thank you for lifting us up too, Lord, for supporting us and for guiding us in this journey and as sojourners in this strange land, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we ask that you bless us as we go forth. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And cast out the demons from Psalmist Barmer's phone, please.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, we cast out all those demons from her phone.
Thank you for that. To God be the glory. But anyway, I love you both. Thank you. Hugs and kisses. And thank you for just being there, all right? Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love you so much.
Stay safe. Love you too. Love you so much. Hugs and kisses to both of you, and God willing, we'll speak soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Love
you. As you get well, keep yourself quarantined and get out of that, okay?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to work hard.
Yes, ma'am.
Enjoy.
Love
Amen.
You.
Love
Shalom.
You.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Bye-bye.
And on
Bye.
That note, we are out. We are.